world where nothing, it seems, and nobody, it seems, can be relied upon, where people do not keep their word, you're the one who keeps your word forever. As we see this world and these heavens passing away, your word endures forever. Our soul longs for you and thirsts for you, the living God. We come to church not to play religious games, but because we're running after you, Father. We don't need another service of nog 'n preek deur vehicle. We need a touch from the living God. And that's why we're here this morning, Lord God. You promise us, Lord God. And we make this declaration, Lord, to remind ourselves, but to also to say to you, promised God, you said that if we search for you with all our hearts and our souls, we will find you and you will show us great and mighty things which we didn't know before. And that's why we're here this morning, Lord, for people that have come out of curiosity, people that have come for the first time, those that are hungry and desperate for you, and those that are not even sure why they're here this morning. We thank you that we are here. That's what counts. You promise that you're going to inhabit the praises of your people. You promise that with two or more gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And so, Father, we, this lekker om saam met mekaar te kan kuier and to visit around food and eat and all of that's lekker, but we want you, God. We want you, Father. Make your presence known in every heart this morning, Lord. Let your glory be real to us in the name of Jesus. And thank you that you move beyond the limitations of my speech this morning and you give to every person exactly what he or she needs to hear from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that you're watching over your word, Lord, and it will achieve your purposes in our lives to the praise and glory of your name. And all the people of the Most High God said, Amen. Amen. Just high five some people around you. And I mean high five. Nee, Sonny. High five. Here we go. Keeping with our theme, courage, and the title this morning is Courage 11. Would you let Jesus love you? Let Jesus love you is the title of this message this morning. And I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 4, from the 11th verse up to and including verse 21, to the end of that chapter, from verse 11. I'm reading from the NLT, the first edition. You should have the second edition up there, I think. Yeah. So here or there, there'll be a word that differs, but just read along. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. That means completely in all of his glory and splendor. Many times people have seen parts of God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expression through us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. How many of you are glad that there's proof? Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in Him. God is love. It's not just something that He does. It's not the expression of an emotion. He is the very essence of love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face Him with confidence, because we are like Christ here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment. And this shows that His love has not been perfected in us. I remember I gave my life to Jesus because I was afraid of going to hell. I'm serious. I was well on my way there, but at a rate of knots. We love each other as a result of His loving us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. How many liars in the building this morning? Don't raise your hands. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God? I'm just saying. And God Himself has commanded that we must not love not only Him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. Wow. This morning, I believe God would like us to visit the concept of letting Jesus love you. Now, what does it mean to let Jesus love you? It's like He doesn't need our permission, but He loves us anyway. But in a sense, we need to allow His love to be perfected in our hearts. What does it mean to have the love of Jesus perfected in our hearts? What does it mean when it says perfect love casts out fear, all sorts of fear? We're going to look at that this morning. Some key things we need to put our trust in His love. We need to allow His love to grow more perfect in our lives. Because love, that kind of love, casts out all fear. And the good thing is that He first loved us. He's the one that made the first move. How many of you, when you remember courting or dating or chaffing, whatever it's called today, making moves, whatever, on whoever, for whatever, who made the first move? Who made the first move? Like the accidental bump in the whatever. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Meantime, you couldn't keep yourself away from the person. Somebody made the first move. Hello. God has made the first move to reach out to us. He's made the first move and He sent Jesus. He's made the first move. Like, attain victory in our lives in certain areas. We need to allow God to complete that move and say, God, You've made the first move. What does that mean for me where I am at? Some of you are smiling and grinning because you think of when you made your first move or how He made His first move, like His pickup line. My one is like, excuse me, how do you do that? What? Take my breath away when I look at you. I mean, that's so corny and so cheesy. I mean, come on. And others are like, yo, I didn't know that angels flew so low. Like, uh-huh, and they can go on and on and on. So it's like, where did you put them? What? Your wings, because you're an angel. So it goes on. But God has made His first move to love us. The only true way to really experience the love of God, to truly love God, is to let Him love you first. Let Him love you first. Because it's a given that God loves the world. But it's not a given that everybody has received the love of the Father. In other words, allow the full expression of Jesus' love to come to fruition in your life. Allow the full expression of Jesus' love to come to pass or to come to fruition in your life. John 15 and verse 16. He says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Thank God He chose me. Thank God He chose me, because for 2 decades I didn't choose God. I wanted to know nothing about God or His Son, and yet He still chose us. That's good news, man. Hallelujah. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruits, that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Allowing Jesus to love us will get us to the point where He radically changes us from the inside out. And here's the gist of this morning. Letting Jesus love you, is where you allow Him to change you from the inside out. That's the key. Don't expect some external change of circumstances or something on the outside to happen where you're praying and you're begging for heaven to do something. Heaven has already done everything. God has sent His best, Jesus. The scripture says in the book of Ephesians that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Soveel mense sit hierso op aarde, wandel deur die duisternis, hopende dat daar nog 'n wonderwerk gaan plaasvind. In the meantime, wag die Here vir die wonderwerk wat reeds verrig is in jou hart. Jy moet net die Here toelaat om jou van binne af te verander. You waiting for heaven. Heaven's waiting for you, sir. Ma'am, gents at the back. God's waiting for you. What's He waiting for you? Let Jesus love you. Let Jesus have His way in your heart from the inside out. And you watch. You'll live the best life you've ever lived with persecutions, trials, pain, suffering. But you'll just go from strength to strength as you let Jesus be Jesus through you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that's what we're on about this morning. He'll change you from the inside out. How does He do that? Well, we are people that are hardnekkig. We're stubborn. I was the kind of man that had to be completely broken before I let God fix me, because I was so proud I was teaching God some lessons, because He didn't know how to run earth. I knew. Hello. I had to let Him, He had to let me be completely broken before I let Him fix me. For 20 years, the devil convinced me that as a man, if you have to ask for help, you're already a liar. You're already a failure, sorry. So when people want to pour the love of Jesus in my life, I said, no, listen, I'm okay. I'm sorted. In the meantime, I was the walking dead. I was existing. I was an oxygen thief, but I wasn't living. And the devil convinced me to take my life. And I sat on my bed choosing between two guns, a 357 Magnum, which was my private, or the state's 9mm, which is going to blow my brains out quicker. And for the first time in forever, I didn't pray some religious prayer that I was learnt at whatever class. I cried out in desperation to God. I said, Jesus, come and take over. I cannot take this anymore. And He met me there in my room, and I've never been the same since then, because I had a hard heart. A hard heart. I refuse to let God change me. Sir, ma'am, where are you this morning? Are you letting Jesus love you? Or are you playing hardnekkig? Ek het my God. Ek het my godsdienst. I'm just saying. Because of the hardness of our hearts, you let Jesus start to change you. You're going to experience life like you've never known before. Ezekiel 36 and 26, it says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Letting Jesus love you. What's going on this morning? Scripture should be up there, but I'll say it again. Ezekiel 36, 26. Would you let Jesus love you and remove your heart of stone and give your heart of flesh too? Net vir 'n slag? What have you got to lose? Worst case scenario, you end up in eternity in heaven with Him. Gee, how bad is that, eh? What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? That's your worst case scenario. Worst case scenario for a Christian is hope. That's our worst case scenario as a Christian is hope. But we grow on from hope to knowing and being fully persuaded beyond any shadow of a doubt that what He says is true, because He becomes real in your life when you let Him. So will you let Him love you this morning? Do you have the courage to give Him a chance? 2 Corinthians 3:3. Clearly, you're a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. So what's the Apostle Paul saying here? He says, people want proof. They want documentary proof. How does the world and anybody know that what we're saying about this Jesus is true? And he's saying, look at your lives. Look how you were. Look how you are now. Look at what's transformed. Look how you're experiencing the promises of old, the fulfillment of prophecies. You're a letter. So it's like this. When you allow Jesus to change you from the inside out, your life becomes something that people can read. Something that they want to read. Something that they need to read. It has been said the best sermon that any person could ever preach is your life. Don't come and play church on Sunday. Live like Satan's brothers and sisters Monday to Saturday and then come and play church on Sunday. Mensen check your skin. You talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk. You're plastic, man. You're playing church. When you let Jesus change you from the inside, your life is a Bible, a message from Jesus that people can see. And they say, this is real. I don't know what it is, but I want what this person, something's different about this person. They're not religious. They're not playing church. They've let Jesus change them from the inside out. So where are you this morning? How much of the love of God have you let come to pass in your life? This is what happens. That letter, that sermon, the best sermon you can ever preach is your lifestyle. That sermon that people see in you, listen to this, will give the world undeniable hope and the promise of a better life. Do they see you as this perfect goody-two-shoes, holy Joe, Jesus-free Christian? No, they see you as a real person with real challenges, Dwayne. Real struggles, isn't it, sir? Real hardship. Red blood flowing in your veins. Ye hail, ye full pain. But they see that ye leef nie 'n lewe waar daar belowe is, maanskyn en rose. They see that all hell breaks loose in your life. But when the storms come, you can find Jesus in the midst of the storm. You get to recognize His voice, see Him walking on the water towards you, and you see an asset, a facet of His personality that you've never seen before. You see, so many people of God want the life improvement package that Christianity offers, but without the storms. Jesus never said that. His disciples never said that. And any preacher that tells you that I don't know. He just hasn't got the point. Because Jesus never promised that the storms will stop. On the contrary, you start living for God and watch what happens. Then you become a threat to the devil. If the devil isn't attacking you in any way at all, I wonder, is it possible that you're not even a threat to him because you're on your way to hell? You start living your life for Jesus, and you watch what the devil will try and do. And when he comes, you don't arrogantly stand there and say, right, come, I've got one for you. I'm ready. So, no. Greater is Jesus that's in me than he that's in the world. You want a piece of me? You've got to get to my daddy. Hallelujah. That's what happens. And when people see that in your life, when you let Jesus change you from the inside out, they can see this person's got real. Look how they react when the pressure's on. I posted something on social media as the Spirit prompted me, because I don't do the Facebook thing, but unless I felt, and I found a picture of these guys that do pastel painting, painting with oil-based paints, canvas paintings. It's like this tube of paint that's been squeezed out, and I said, I want to be so full of Jesus that when the devil comes to squeeze me, all that comes out is Jesus. Amen. You see, when the bumps of life knock you and the spanner slips, what comes out of you? Oh, for 5, 6. Or you say, bless the Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Wat die maart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. When the pressure's on, what comes out of you? And when you let Jesus change you from the inside out, when the pressure's on, what will come out of you is what the Scripture describes in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, is that we are the fragrance of Jesus to those who are dying and those who are living. Mits jy toegelaat het dat die Here se liefde vir jou 'n werklikheid geword het in jou. Nie kopkennis nie, jy het 'n paar teksverse gememoriseer of jy het 'n papier wat sê jy het lidmaatskap van die hemelbestormers iewerste. No, I'm talking a reality with the living God. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. Letting Jesus love us means a complete surrender to Him. What does it mean to surrender to Jesus? It was our theme a couple of years ago. There it is, that one there. Surrender, the white flag. When people surrender, traditionally they wave a white flag. Okay, hoorie, ons het genoeg pakslag gekry. Ek gee op. Vat maar net alles, doen wat julle wil. Ek gee op. Surrender to Jesus means the following. Letting Jesus love you means that you've surrendered your life to Him. Not just for half an hour of unbearable preaching on a Sunday. That's not surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus is what happens in your pip. 24/7, 365. Surrender to Jesus, John, is beteken wat gaan in jou hart waar niemand anders te van weet wat daar aangaan. If you surrender to Jesus there, that's surrender to Jesus. Not jy raai on a Sunday, yay, hallelujah, dan gaan jy huis toe en dan doen jy jou eie ding. That's not surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus means the following. It means allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit instead of driven by things. Some people are driven businessmen. They're driven to be the best, driven to make the list of Fortune 500 companies, driven by whatever, driven to outperform the next one, driven om 'n punt te bewy, driven by all sorts of things, where the Scripture says in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 14th verses, many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. led by the Spirit. Surrender to Jesus means allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit of God. One preacher had an issue with people in his congregation. They was op. Die predikant was moeg. Preaching, and the people not living it. So people say, oh, I haven't feel led by the Lord. I haven't feel led to do this. I haven't feel led to do that. So he literally sent out pieces of lead in a congregation, passed it through everybody. Once everybody had let that piece of lead pass through their hands, he said, right, now that you all feel led, let's just do what God says, shall we? So let the Spirit of God lead you. Do you feel led this morning? Or must I send a piece of lead through this building? I now feel led. Now that you felt led, just listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, please, in Jesus' name. Nobody says amen to that. Okay, I'll get over it. That's what surrender means, being led by the Spirit of God. We must allow ourselves to respond to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us instead of reacting to external circumstances. You see, we can't live reactionary lives. People do this, so I do that. The economy says this, so I'll do that. The government does this, so I'll do that. My wife does this, so I'll do that. The kids are not doing this, so I'm going to do this. At work, they're not doing that, so you're like a lost. You're like a lost fart in a perfume factory. I don't know how else to say it. If that is offensive to you, get over it. Because the King James uses even stronger language. I don't know how to describe it. You're letting life happen to you. You're letting life happen to you, and you've given half a chance, ladies and gentlemen, will run right over you, and you'll wonder what happened. By the time you find yourself in your doodskus, you'll wonder what happened. You're letting life happen to you instead of letting the life of Jesus thrive through you. Jy gaan altyd onder die omstandighede wees instead of dictating the circumstances according to God's plan and purposes for your life. There's a difference. There's a difference. You've got to respond to the Spirit of God in you. If He lives in you. If He lives in you. Doesn't mean because you've got a Christian t-shirt or a gold little cross on your neck that the Spirit of God lives in you, eh? No. He only lives in those who are willing to receive Him and who have paid the price. What is the price? Death. Wat beteken jy mos moet ek eers doodgaan voordat die Heilige Gees in my kan woon? Nee, die to self. I said die to self. I said die to self. When you die to self, then the Spirit of God will come and live inside of you. Until such time, you're going to be driven by external circumstances instead of being led by the Spirit of God. Letting Jesus love you means that you let the Spirit of God in you lead you and govern your every decision, your every action, your every thought. That's what it means to let Jesus love you. So how are you doing this morning, church? As far as that's concerned. Are you letting Jesus love you? Hallelujah. Letting Jesus love you. How long have I been going, sir? Now, seriously now? 25, nog nie is opgewarm nie. I'm not even in gone to second gear. Hier kom 'n ding. Hallelujah. Letting Jesus love you, loves you, love you, you know what I'm trying to say now, means that you allow His correction in your life. Some people hate to be shown that something is amiss in their life. For all sorts of reasons. They take it too personally. They take offense at anything. You know, there can be a huge piece of spinach stuck between their teeth when they're smiling. And you'll pull them aside and say, you want to improve their smile kind of thing, hello? And they'll take offense at that. What's wrong? Why did you point out the spinach between my teeth? Or the parsley in... You understand what I'm trying to say? When God wants to correct you and help you, letting Jesus love you, I need some water. Letting Jesus love you means that you allow the correction of your loving Heavenly Father in your life. Gluck, 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 gluck. Cecil, hallelujah. It's not Cecil, it's nectar from our God, hallelujah. Letting Jesus love you means you'll allow God to correct you in your life. Proverbs 3, 11 to 12. It says, "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those who He loves." He corrects those who He loves. "Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Next portion of scripture, I want to read Hebrews 12, 7 to 12. Come with me to the book of Hebrews. Touch your screen to the book of Hebrews. Turn there. Just get there. Get there with me. Hebrews 12. What did we say? There's 7 to 12. Hebrews 12, 7 to 12. Are we there? Hallelujah. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to play nice. I'm going to read that one. Hebrews 12, 7 to 12. "As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really His children at all." Ja, mense sê, ek is God se stout seentjie. What you're saying is that you're refusing to let God discipline you. You want to emphasize your illegitimacy. Wow. Ek is God se stout seun. Ek is God se I'm God's naughty girl. Naughty girl. There's a song like that, isn't it? "I want to be your naughty girl." It's like, I think there's a song. It's from Radio Bosleis. Geluister 'n bietjie na Radio Bosleis. "I want to be your naughty girl." Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to live that naughty life? Or are you going to receive the loving correction of a Heavenly Father who wants heaven's best for you? Nee, ek het 'n reputation hier onder, maar ek is 'n stout seun. Ek is 'n breker van formaat. You want to hang on to your reputation as a bad boy? All right, knock yourself out. "Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever?" Wow, what a question. "For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they know how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful." How many of you, when you were being spanked, "Yes, teacher, give me another jack. Oh, ja, kry so lekker. Slaat harder asseblief, Onnie. Nee, slaat my. Nee, Onnie's." When you're getting, I remember the last time I got 6 of the best. Ekelstig. Ek het geskreeu hoor, hier binne-in. But I wanted to like man up. I'm also a teenage man of 18 years old. I said, just lay it on. After stroke number 3, I was like, "Dear Lord Jesus. What has happened? What have I subjected myself to?" Hoor die daai pakslawe wat ek gekry het, ek het dit verdien. Ons was hardnekkig geweest. Ons was klaar met die eksamens and we had no reason to be at school. But the authorities said, "Just stay there." No. I don't know, why must I stay there? Because I couldn't see the reason. What's the point? The point is that I missed the point of submitting to discipline. Hello? I missed the point of submitting to discipline. Yes, I was wasting my time at school, but the teachers wanted us within the confines of the school property, not out gallivanting in the southern suburbs of Joburg. En ek het pak slaag gekry. I'll never forget that lesson. I'll never forget that lesson. Born again, spiritful man of God, that gave me 6 of the best. And I said, "Mr. Sutherland, are we still friends after this?" I shook his hand, he said, "Son, that depends on you." And that's God's correction, because He loves us. And because He wants to punish you. Unless, of course, you need punishment. And then He'll allow things to happen in your life that He doesn't want to happen. Maar jy dring daarop aan. You want to suffer under the ways of the devil. Nou kry vir jou dan. Laat hy die snot uit jou uitklap, as jy nie wil hoor nie. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Hallelujah. Number 12. So, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. This discipline process, letting Jesus love you, means that you'll let God discipline you. How many of you came to church this morning to be disciplined? Don't raise your hands. What's the purpose of God's discipline? The purpose of God's discipline is for His love to be perfected in our hearts and for us to share in His holiness. You're not some scientific, biological experiment that He's playing games with. His discipline is to have His love perfected in your heart and to walk in holiness. This thing of holiness, unfortunately, for 20 years, I grew up in a very, very religious church. Lots of rules and regulations, but no relationship with Jesus. Nothing. I was taught the traditions of men for 20 years. So this holiness thing to me is like, hallelujah. Oh, you're this halo and you look sort of untouchable and you're distant from the world and the things of the world can't contaminate you. No, that's not holiness. One of the meanings of the word holiness means different. Holiness means being different in a dark and dying world. Being somebody that represents the love of a living God in a dark and dying world. That's holiness. Holiness means that when you blow it, you quickly get on your knees and you say, God, let your grace be upon me because I've hurt you again, Lord Jesus. That's holiness. And that's God's purpose. When you let Him love you, He empowers you to live that life where His love is perfected in your heart and you live in holiness. Now, why am I on this morning so much about His love being perfected in our heart? It's so that we can overcome this thing. In 1 John 4:18, we read it this morning. It says, perfect love casts out fear. Don't raise your hands now. But there are dozens of people here this morning listening to the Word of God that are slaves to fear. You're a slave to some form of fear in your life. Maybe you're afraid that I'm going to preach for another hour. Relax. I'm not. Maybe you're afraid that you're going to be retrenched soon. Maybe you're afraid that the doctors are not going to be able to come up with an answer for your qual. Maybe you're afraid of failure. A motivational speaker once said this. He's not afraid, he was addressing the students, the graduates. He said, he's not afraid that you succeed. He's afraid that they never fail. Because there's valuable lessons that can only be taught through failure in life that you would otherwise not learn if you succeeded at everything all the time. Some of you are afraid of failure. I know I'm like that when I'm practicing to wheelie on my bicycle. I'm afraid of failing, falling over backwards and landing on my pup. I'm afraid of that. Well, let me just choose words of love. I used to be afraid of that. I've overcome that fear. Now I'll wheelie on my bicycle. Woo-hoo-hoo! A trap on, puppy. And it's the same thing with wheeling the super bike or whatever, the dirt bike. Why? And some people are absolutely fearless. I don't know about you, but any form of fear is from the devil. There are so many people that are insecure and afraid of what the future of South Africa holds because of the toestand that our economy is in. Are you afraid of that? Are you afraid that there's going to be nothing left of what was supposed to be an education system for you to send your children to one day? There's a principal of a school here. Imagine what he has to go through, being responsible to God one day and saying, this is the education that I gave to people, Lord. Are you afraid of these things? Well, that is why it's important to let Jesus love you, so that once His love has been perfected in your heart, it casts out all fear. I want to be in that place when I see God's people thrive fearlessly. Not arrogantly, but fearlessly. So what fear is holding you back this morning? The scripture says that the love of God has not yet been perfected in your heart. Because if I'm afraid that if I honor God financially and He can't take care of my needs, that means I don't really believe how much He loves me. If I'm afraid in God's ability to look after me, that means I haven't allowed His love to become a reality in my heart. I'm afraid of something. I'm letting fear grab a hold of me, and I'm reacting to the fear instead of responding to the Spirit of God in me. So what are you afraid of this morning? Maybe you're afraid, not maybe, I sense the Spirit of God saying this to me. There's people here, you've been coming here for a while to this church, and the Spirit of God has spoken to you several times. And you're afraid of making a commitment to Christ because you're scared of what you'll lose. I know that. That's for at least one person here. And I know there's more. You've been coming here for a while, and you've been afraid to make that commitment to Christ because you're scared of what you might lose when you walk the Christian walk. I'm not going to go into it now, but Jesus promises you so much more than you ever dreamed possible that you think you may lose. You can only ever benefit from leading a life that's committed to Christ. Not only one day and even here and now, the Scripture promises in the Gospel of Mark. In this lifetime, you will receive 100-fold more than anything you ever enjoyed, more than ever before, God has in store for you. You see, I'm not going to preach and say that just give your heart to Jesus and everything kind of lekker wees. No, it's going to cost you everything. I said it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. But you'll gain everything that heaven has. So what would you do? Wil jy eerder hierso opgeskep sit met 'n handvol modder en oorblyfsels van die duivel en die vyand in 'n wêreld wat die mens dan opgeneek het? You want to settle with rotten, frotten, sif old leftovers? Or do you want newness of life beyond your wildest imagination? What do you want? I want God's best for us. Can you say amen? So letting Jesus love you, allow the correction and discipline in your heart so that love can be perfected in your hearts. What does perfected love mean? Perfected love means when we, seeing ourselves as God sees us, seeing others as God sees them, and seeing God as He really is. Say that again. That's the definition of perfect love. When you let God change your heart and your mind from the inside, that you can see yourself the way He sees you. Seeing others the way He sees them, and seeing God the way He really is. That's when you know that love has been perfected in your hearts. Because then you're at a peaceful place with your Maker and everyone He's made. So how many of you are sitting here and you've got an issue against someone? I bet there's names and faces coming to mind right now, isn't it? Jy het 'n gly gevang in iemand. Because somebody done something or didn't do something. Of iemand het 'n gly gevang as gevolg van iets wat jy gedoen het of nagelaat het om te doen. When love is perfected in your heart, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 says, as far as it is up to you, live at peace with everybody. Sometimes you try and share the peace of Jesus with people, but here's the thing, folks. You can't talk peace to a man who has war in his heart. You can't talk peace to a man who has war in his heart. And if you've done everything scripturally and as the Spirit of God leads you to have peace and restoration with people, en hulle wil nog steeds 'n oorlog voer, well then let God deal with that battle. You live your life in peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen? So that's the definition of having love perfected in your heart. When you see yourself as God sees you, when you see others as He sees them, and when you see God as He really is, then the love of God, my dear friend, has been perfected in your heart. I want to start closing off with this concept. Start closing off. That means the plane is coming into land. Passenger seatbelt light is going to come on soon, and you're going to have to stow away the luggage under your seat. Open all the window shades, and you know the story if you've flown. If you haven't, it's okay. Ek gaan einde binnekort. When it comes to this discipline thing, and God chastising those whom He loves, what if, ek maak maar net die stelling, what if God is allowing the Church of Jesus Christ in South Africa, specifically South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, What if God is allowing the government of the day to discipline and chastise his children? Why is it so quiet here? What if God is using the African National Congress and the Black First, Land First, and the Economic Freedom for EFF, and the whoever other, all the other Fs and Cs and Bs and As and what? What if God is allowing them to be the instrument in his hands to teach his church in South Africa? That means us, we're not discipline. What if God is allowing the government of the day to allow love to be perfected in my heart? Now it's even quieter. Who's got a pin so that we can drop it? You say, where does that come from? Well, consider this. God is interested in leaders. It doesn't mean people standing up on stage. It means being a leader, representing the kingdom of heaven in a dark and dying world, out there in the streets where it counts. So if God is looking for leaders, consider Joseph's leadership was developed under Pharaoh, Potiphar, and a jailer. Stick around. It gets better. Moses' leadership was developed looking after his father-in-law's sheep for 40 years in the back of a desert. That's where his leadership was developed. Daniel's leadership was developed under the high priest of a false god, the high priest called Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think Daniel, Joseph, and Moses were praying different government, different? You think they were asking for that? No, they were in what some people call the school of the Spirit. David's leadership was developed under King Saul, who tried to kill him for years. Is the government trying to kill you? Maybe death by taxes, yes. David's leadership was developed under Saul. The Apostle Paul's leadership was developed under Gamaliel. Godless governments. God needed to teach his people certain things that were not yet in place in their hearts. So where are we on that this morning when it comes to the rainbow nation called South Africa? Nee, fat my pa and va, I want to emigrate to wherever, okay? And has the love of God been perfected in your heart? Never mind, Bonzi, I've got my plane ticket. I fat my pa and ek vai. Okay, run, go. Try and escape circumstances that God wants you to be submitted to so that his love can be perfected in your heart. Let's see how far that gets you. Listen, this earth isn't big enough for you to run and hide. Isn't big enough for you to run and hide anywhere. Sure, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Will you let Jesus develop his godly discipline in your life? I've left the passage of scripture out. I know that. I sense this. I left something from Hebrews out, didn't I? No, I've read it. Hebrews 12, 7 to 12. Have we read it? Okay. I knew that. I'm just testing you. I'm done preaching this morning. I'd like us to stand as the deep end leads us in a time of worship, and we close the service off with prayer this morning and God to do something in our hearts before we go. And remember the awesome time of fellowship afterwards. We're going to feed up. If you're a regular, if you're a church member or a CMA member, please let our guests visit and eat first. Hello? Please let our guests eat first. And if there's anything left over, then you'll get the scraps. Okay. Please let our visitors feed their pie holes first. Okay. Intercessors, continue to pray, please. Here we are this morning. So, for those of you that would like to let God perfect his love in your heart, maybe you're let's just start here. You're afraid of something. I don't know what it is. God knows, and you know what it is. And you want God to come and replace that fear with his peace and the comfort of his promises, knowing that he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And you're afraid of something. Maybe you're afraid of putting up your hand in the next 10 seconds. I'm just saying. If it's fear, anything that you should be fearing is God and God Almighty. And you're tired of the devil just keeping you afraid of something, even if it's afraid of the dark. Something as simple as that. Because folks, I sense to say this by the Spirit, even something as simple as that, the devil will use that against you. Starts off with being just afraid of the dark. You switch your light off at night and you try and get to your bed in time before it's dark and you never outrun the light. Or maybe you glo there's a tokoloshi under the bed or that crocodile's going to... I've been there. Come on. If you're afraid of something this morning, what I want you to do is this. When people surrender, what is the international, worldwide, well-known sign for surrender? Okay. Stick him up. Hey, Jack. This is a stuff up. This is what... Don't you mean stick up? He says, no, I forgot the bullets. This is a stuff up. This is not a stuff up or a stick up. You want to surrender that fear to God this morning. As a humble sign of surrender, say, Lord, I surrender. If you're here this morning and you want the Spirit of God to set you free from fear, surrender your hands. Let's go. As folks are raising their hands all over, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Father, you know exactly what's going on inside our hearts. You know if this is an emotional thing or this is something that we're really committed to. Father, I speak your life over your people today. I just want the devil to know. Satan, are you listening? We declare as the people of God that God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. And spirit of fear, I rebuke you in every life right now across this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of fear, you go. You go and you leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. For every man, woman, and child who surrendered their lives to you, Lord, who know you as their Lord and they follow you as their Savior and their Lord, I speak the peace of God in their lives and hearts right now, that fear goes. That fear goes in the name of Jesus. That spirit of fear, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus and we command you to leave these lives in the name of Jesus. Every fearful thought in every fearful mind goes now in the name of Jesus. I speak the mind of Christ over every person and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, and the Spirit of peace and a sound mind come upon your people in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Every lie that the enemy has told you, I pray, Lord God, that you would replace it with your truth. Show us, Lord God, how much you love us, that we need not be afraid. So many times you've told us, fear not, I am with you, says the Lord. I will never leave you or never forsake you. God, you tell us the plans that you have. Our future is secure in you, Lord. Give us the boldness and the courage to just accept that for what it is. You have spoken it in Jesus' name. I sense God wants to say this to you this morning. You might have a scriptural definition of faith, and that's fine, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and being certain of what you do not see, in the New King James. And in the NIV, it says, in the New King James, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And the NIV says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and being certain of what you do not see. That sounds written in the Bible. I want to submit this to you. Faith is when you quit believing what you're seeing and start seeing what you believe. Faith is when you quit believing what you see and you start seeing what you believe. If you believe God to fulfill His promise over your life, faith is when you start to see that. Give God a chance this morning in Jesus' name. And then the next prayer I want to pray. Maybe you know Jesus as your Savior, but you don't know Him as Lord. What does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? It means you let Him govern and rule your life. En God het die finale sê oor alles aangaande jou. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, and you've never done so before, this morning, you want to do that this morning. It's not about joining a church. It's about letting Jesus be Lord of your life. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. Anybody like that? Yeah, let's see. Anybody? Any hands? There's a hand at the back. There's a hand over here. Bless you. Any other hands? I see those hands. Bless you. All right. For those folks that have raised your hands, Jesus died publicly on the cross for you. He took all the shame so that you don't have to be ashamed of anything. I'm going to ask you to do something very, very bold. Jesus didn't die quietly out of public view. He died openly for the world to see. If you're serious about letting Jesus be Lord of your life this morning, maybe you've done it 16 times before and you want to do it again. For those three or four folks that raised your hand and those that wanted to but didn't, please come forward to the front straight away. Straight away. Let's go.